you pronounce your last name?
Koya.
Koya.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Mike Koya.
Yeah.
All right. So, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm doing really, I had a really beautiful drive in, so I'm having a good morning.
Where do you live?
In Greensboro.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. It's weird how I've been to the Science Center many times because of the kids. But I've never been to downtown.
That's where I live, actually, downtown.
Oh, someone was just telling me, like, oh, we should go there more often. We just went to dinner there, and it was actually really nice.
Yeah, it is. I really love the downtown community. It's kind of got its own vibe to it, which I really enjoy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a good time.
And I've been seeing your name popping up more and more at a lot of the circuit, call it, you know?
Sure.
So that's exciting. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely grateful to do what I love for a living, that's for sure. I don't do well with the world of promotion and things like that. Mentally, I just don't do well with that stuff. So when I can get away from all that and just be present in the room at all these different shows, I think there's a lot of gold to be found in when you're just present at a venue and not worried so much about people hearing about you, all the things. So thank you for saying that. I didn't even realize that, and that's a compliment.
Gotcha.
I'm just having a really great time meeting a lot of the people at the venue, so it's nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, my husband is constantly reminding me of that when it comes to this project on the whole.
Sure.
Because, he's like, don't worry about how many followers you have on Instagram. Like, all you want to do is inspire, that one person.
Yeah, sure.
And, hey, maybe there's going to be, one individual who's like, hey, I'm also really passionate about this. Mm. Maybe we can help you out. But background, I don't know if you know, I don't usually do a good job of explaining the holistic view.
Okay.
But Heart and Soul is the overarching organization.
Okay.
With Soul Sessions being a sub-project.
Gotcha.
And I'm working on, the goal for the overarching organization is just to bring people closer to music.
Oh, cool.
Just because really believe in the power of music and in helping mental health and just connection and really just overall human development and personal development, and it's really been helpful to me in my life, so I want to help other people get closer to it and be inspired by it. So some of the other sub projects I'm hoping to continue to develop is a citywide music directory, so that
cool.
If someone's like, hey, where do I get lessons for my kid for guitar? Or, hey, who is, whether it's an organization or a musician or anything that's connected to music, hoping that it'll be in this directory. And then hoping to develop some kind of curriculum, for retreats or workshops from, different lenses and, helping with, I know some younger kids don't have if you don't grow up in a musical household, you might not really understand any other instruments beyond drums and violin.
Sure.
And if you're a parent of a child who is somehow musical and you want to help usher them through the process, but you don't know anything about it, maybe a cursory, what is music, intro to music kind of thing for a parent.
Yeah.
But just different stuff that I'd like to kind of help continue to develop for Winston-Salem. And then it seems we have such a rich, bevy of talent for such a small spot. So,
sure.
So Soul Sessions is the tiny desk of Winston-Salem, hopefully.
Nice. That's really cool.
And it's funny because I haven't, I'm trying not to coax people in that direction, but it seemed people typically tend to bring up how music has been a saving grace for them.
Mm.
And how it's really helped them out of dark places or lonely times, or just helped them, in general. And so I think that that's kind of one of the beautiful things about hopefully this project. So.
Yeah, it's nice. This world can be such a, the world of me, I mean this world in general, but this world of music can be such a look at me kind of thing, with all these voices pulling for our attention. So it's nice to be around someone that wants to give back. That's pretty awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I guess if we could just do a brief, what's your deal? Where did you come from? What do you do? What are your goals?
Sure.
And then, go into what you have planned for today.
Yeah, definitely. Today is in here?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Although I would love to know more about, if you're in town, what do you have planned for tonight / for the rest of the weekend?
Sure. So my name is Mike Koya, I for a living, it's weird to say I'm a singer-songwriter. I do music for a living. I play at venues and do cover shows, play cover songs. And then aside from that, I'm also a singer-songwriter. I write my own music and produce it and things like that. And I'm also a worship leader as well at a church. So lots of music in my world. I have the great gift of being able to, the great blessing of being able to play a lot of different genres of music. And I get to, it's the exact same way, I get to meet a lot of really cool people, a lot of new people. And that's a real big gift. It just keeps me well-rounded, and that's enjoyable a lot. As far as goals, you know, I had a lot of goals growing up, a lot of dreams, passions. I still have passions, but I don't know that I have too many big goals in terms of the future and down the road of, you know, trying to make it and things like that. I play music for a living. If that's not making it, I don't know what is, you know. So it would be nice in the future to be able to play more original music, but I'm really content with where I'm at, and I think if I can keep that goal, keep working really hard, I'll just try and stay happy and content with wherever I go. So I do original music, and when I do get to play that, it is a joy, it's a gift, and so I'm grateful for those moments like this morning.
Gotcha. That's great. I won't assign the numbers to it, but I've been playing the viola for many, many years. Wow. Since I was a kid. And so it's funny, I reach out to friends from like my high school and college orchestra days, and a lot of them, especially the ones that are way more talented than I am, they're like, no, I haven't played in years. I'm like, oh my God, that's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, sure.
And I play in the Triad Area Medical Orchestra.
Okay.
And so I understand what you mean as far, like the fact that I can play in an orchestra, and it's like a, I don't want to say like a serious orchestra, but we do play more than pop stuff, which we do try to play some more serious symphonies and classical pieces that really like push us,
sure,
in a way, and I'm so grateful for that.
The fact that
I can even still do that is just like, it's amazing. I'm like, sorry guys, gotta go to orchestra rehearsal.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it doesn't mean necessarily that we wouldn't want to do other bigger things in life, but I think that starts, being happy there, I think, starts with being happy here, you know? So that's awesome.
Yeah, very true. So how long have you been playing and singing and writing?
Man, long enough that I should be better than I am. let's see, it's probably been about 15 years, 12 years or so. I started when I was 13 years old. I am, my gosh, how old am I? I'm 36 years old now. So quite about a little longer, around 15 years or so.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I've been doing music professionally for a paycheck. For about 3 years now.
Okay, so what did you do before that?
Worship leading, working at coffee shops, and I still
was... I could totally see that, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could totally see you being the like smiley, like, hey, I'm here with your coffee.
Yeah, that was definitely me. And in a lot of those jobs, it was trying to live the dream and get to the dream, and just working oddball jobs like a lot of musicians do to try and get to where they want to get to.
Yeah.
So,
gotcha. Yeah. I see. And are you from Greensboro?
Yeah, I grew up in Greensboro. I mean, I was born in Miami, Florida, but I grew up in Greensboro. I went to school in Northwest High School. And yeah, that's the hometown for me.
Gotcha.
So,
cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So what do you have today for?
I've got some originals. I've got one cover, like I said, I don't get to play originals often, so when I do, it's a big gift. These are songs that came from hard moments, realizations. I definitely don't claim them to be the best songs on earth, but they matter a lot to me. So, yeah.
Okay.
First one I'm going to play is a song called Feel For You. Never seen me before. That girl's never known what this heart was for. It started a memory. Pretty girls like her don't ever see me. Pretty girls like her don't ever know what the song be. So tell me, how can I love when the pain's so strong? When the pain's so strong? When the pain's so strong? Tell me, how can I love? How can I feel when it hurts so bad? When it hurts so bad? When it hurts so bad? Tell me, how can I feel? To what you can find, hold on to love that was left behind. Back when she broke my heart for the first time, she was last place in a long line. Now she's never going back to an angel's disguise. Tell me, how can I love with the pain so strong? When the pain strong, when the pain's so strong, tell me, how can I love? How can I feel when it hurts so bad? When it hurts so bad? When it hurts so bad? Tell me, how can I feel for you? Never seen me before. That girl's never known what this art's for. So let's start at a memory. Pretty girls like her don't ever see me. Pretty girls like her won't ever know what this art, what this art could be to me. How can I love with the being so strong? When the being so strong, tell me, how can I love? How can I feel when it hurts so bad? When it hurts so bad? When it hurts so bad? Tell me, how can I feel? Question. It should be easier to answer than it is. I wrote that about 2.5 years ago. Yeah. Or 2.5 years ago. Yes.
Cool. Very cool. It's a great song.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let's see. I don't know if you are aware, but when I create your feature page on the website, I embed a playlist. Just like a Spotify playlist of songs that are inspired by your session.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know. I'm always thinking like, what does this make me think of? And I'm like, Craig David kind of popped up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I like Craig David. He's awesome.
Yeah. I feel like he was like a one-hit wonder in America, you know? Mm. But he's like gone on to do so much.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
The way that America looks at music versus overseas.
Yeah, it's so. My sister, for a while back when we weren't doing Spotify and it was all about Apple, you know.
Yeah.
She would like log out and switch her country because like the top like artists or the top songs would be so different from the UK and like, and then she would also get into like German rap and like all the other stuff too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it is really interesting how that's so different. But
it's really cool to hear your perspective on what you hear when you hear the songs. That's awesome to hear. Because I get that a lot from people, but I don't always get the same artist.
Okay.
So, like, I've heard, like, Anthony Hamilton and stuff like that.
Oh,
but Craig David, it's a really cool compliment. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's the, because he does, like, a good job of, like, the straddling the, I don't know, like, the pop R&B kind of, like, acoustic vibe in a way.
Yeah.
I know he does a lot more, like, electronic stuff currently, but still, yeah.
What song am I, is it 7 Days?
Yeah.
Seven Days, yeah, I think that acoustic feel to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of really great stuff. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course. Do you, I guess, I'm always kind of like, should I dig deep or not? But just kind of curious more about, like, what was going on when you were writing the song and, like, or at least who, I don't know, not that I would
know
who that person was, but, like, what that time was like. Or,
sure. Those questions definitely don't offend. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you just being respectful. Not everyone would be that respectful, so thank you. Yeah, that song is definitely about someone, and I think for me the biggest takeaway a lot of times when you're hurt in a relationship is I don't want to say everyone. Most people, I'll go on a limb and say most people at the risk of generalizing, they want to move on and they want to assume the best in the other person. You know, no one wins when you just fester this hate and bitterness for the other person, no matter how much they've hurt you. And so for me, it was this sentiment revolving around, I want to move on. I want to do these things. I want to love you. I want to be there for you. But I'm so hurt, I'm so broken, you can't always get rid of. And especially a lot of times, I think the complexity happens when you're in the relationship still with the person that is hurting you actively. And that can a lot of times happen in a marriage when it's much different from dating, where things can happen that are habitually crossing the line with you. And to learn how to see past that, how to love that person past that, is very hard. You know, they say, the saying goes, if you stay in the room, if the people that stay in the relationships when they're hurt are the ones that grow. So if you stay, you grow. If you leave, you don't grow.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's really what that song is about.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's awesome.
Thanks.
Are you married?
Not anymore. No,
okay.
No, ma'am.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry.
No, you're good. No problem at all. I do music for a living. I'm very used to, you got to live your life out loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
So whether I like it or not.
So yeah. I don't know, growing up, I guess I would say, like, my personal childhood wasn't, like, the very best.
Mm.
Playing the viola, I would say, like, I really, really lacked a lot of self-confidence, and playing the viola was one of those things that was like, hey, I'm good at this, and I feel good when I play, but it wasn't just about, like, making music, because, like, just listening to music, you know, it's just so, like, powerful and just so, so great for me to help me feel like I could kind of escape, you know, and then also hear, like, a lyric reflected back at me, like, oh my god, I know it's so basic to think this, but someone else feels what I feel. That's wild.
Yep.
And then, you know, not feeling so lonely in whatever it is that you're feeling in that moment.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, that's where, like, I guess, like, the start for me. Like, I always say that, like, between therapy, literature, like reading and writing, and music, like, those are the things that I felt like have really, like, saved me and helped me to just evolve into, like, the better, I say better, not the best, the better version of myself, because I'm still working.
Sure.
You know? But yeah, so sometimes I'm like, I really want to know more about the stories, especially, like, you are my sixth
awesome.
Session.
Wow.
I think. But just trying to, like, I'm trying to calibrate to what extent, you know, I dig, and that's why I was like, well, are you married?
No, you're good. you're definitely, I think, I feel like the dance is, you feel free to ask any questions you would like to, and I will always be honest about either not answering,
right.
You know? I think for me, the thing is, I just never want to lie about something, so
sure.
I'll be happy. There's definitely a song I plan to sing that I won't go too deep into what it's about. Because just some songs are just too therapeutic. You gotta keep them at a good distance.
Yeah. So. You know, Anna Mertzen was just,
she's
my last
fantastic.
Session. Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She was my last session, and she was talking about her time. She just spent some time in Germany because her spouse is in the military.
Yep.
And she was going through some, you know, I guess darker moments there when she wrote a song that she played. And she was, you know, saying, like, I'm going to try to keep it together and not cry as I'm, like, you know, playing. And but I can definitely understand how, you know, like, especially because for me, when I hear something, let alone if you, like, wrote the thing, but if I hear something, it's like, you know, like you're opening a container, you know, all of the emotions and feelings and just everything from that moment, and how it's kind of like unsealing or like taking that band-aid off that wound and letting it like kind of like, I don't know, reactivate in a way. So I can see how like, that can be even more emotional when you're, you know, actually when you wrote the music.
Absolutely. Yourself. No, I completely agree with you. I've got, I don't know how much I want to gauge our time. How much time do we have? Yeah, I don't want to tell a long story.
No, go ahead, tell your story.
Okay. The way I think about it, so I have a snowboarding accident where I had to have my knee operated on, and I've got a really big scar on my knee. And still to this day, so I'm not great with medicine in any way. I'm just the worst with all that sort of stuff. And so still to this day, when I look at that scar, I am quickly reminded of everything that went into it, not even necessarily the accident, but everything from dressing the wound to having to clean it throughout the weeks and the surgery, all the pain and the trauma that went into it, just by looking at the scar. So that's what I imagine it to be.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. My sister, I think she's gone snowboarding. I've never done any snow related sports.
Sure.
But I'm always like, oh, I'll try anything once. So maybe we'll get there one day.
I love it. It's my favorite thing. If you ever try it, I hope you enjoy it a lot.
Where do you go?
I go a lot to Snowshoe Mountain in West Virginia.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and then when you know, when the privilege hits, it's nice to go to out west a little bit whenever you get to. But that's a privilege for sure.
Yeah, My sister went to the University of Richmond, and she had a couple of friends who were like, hey, do you want to go to my cabin in Colorado? We're just going to go.
That's amazing.
Or do you want to go to BVI?
What's BVI?
British Virgin Islands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'll ask my dad to stock the house.
Jeez.
And he'll, like, take his boat to the island, off the island.
What?
Stock the house.
Those are the friends you want to have.
I know. I was like, I never met friends like that. And I went to, like, an elitist college.
That's awesome.
Clearly made the wrong friends.
Right, exactly.
Quote, unquote. Anyway, so what do you have next?
Yeah, so this is a song called Chasing, and excuse me, I'm looking at the lyrics a little bit here. Like I said, I don't get to play these songs often. That's the last time I'll say that. But my memory is just not the best, so I've got to look at lyrics every once in a while.
Of course.
So anyways, this is a song called Chasing, and I wrote this actually when I in an empty house with my daughter when she was about 6 months old, maybe. And I was just really living in that mindset of wanting to, daydreaming about what the future could be, like many musicians do, about what their dream could be. And for me, it was a realization of getting back to, I really want to be living the dream right now. And there's probably a lot more going on, a lot of ripe fruit to eat right now, and eating the fruit that's in season, and enjoying life right now, being present. So a lot of this says, you know, chasing the dream and chasing my story and things like that. But what I mean to say is that I think it's all happening right now, and there's a lot of great things to enjoy in the process and not taking that for granted, you know. So yeah, this is a song called Chasing. Alive inside of me, all the things I've seen and seen. It feels like I'm never gonna find star shot at stealing the night. Feels like I'm always stuck inside. Still I'm always gonna try. And I'm caught up in a dream, and I've never seen the light this bright before. I'm chasing my story. Now nothing's as it seems, and I can't keep my mind inside the lines. I'm chasing my story. I'm chasing my story. Yeah. Who says the sun is gonna shine too bright to rise in my eyes? I think I'm gonna be just fine. Says I'm always gonna be one step away from my dream. Who says there's never room to breathe when there's always room to breathe? And I'm caught up in a dream, and I've never seen the light this bright before. I'm chasing my story. Seems, and I can't keep my mind inside the lines. I'm chasing my story. Know that I'm chasing my story. Know that I'm chasing my story. And it's nothing like it seems. Still I'm caught up in a dream. It feels like I'm always up in, caught up in a dream. And I've never seen the light this bright before. I'm chasing my story. Now nothing's as it seems. I can't keep my mind inside the lines. I'm chasing my story. Know that I'm chasing my story. Know that I'm chasing my story. There you go.
That's great.
Thank you. So much.
Basic question. Guitars are, is there one note per fret? Is that the correct?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
I've never heard it phrased that way, but I think that's right. Yeah, so a note and then another note.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Yep. Just because for viola, it's not quite like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because like on the viola, it's like every time, basically, if your fingers are side by side, then that's a different note than if they're like even like an inch apart or half an inch. Yeah, so that's why I was just curious. Yeah, because like you have a lot more space, so like this entire space is one note. Does it matter? Like,
oh no, that's exactly right. Yeah, this entire space is one note.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Hey, that's a good question. I've never heard that question before. That's awesome.
I've always wanted to learn, but I was like, oh, I think my hands are too small. But then Anna was like, hey, I don't know, I'm pretty small too. And I was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know bigger hands definitely are ahead of the curve on that, or I can't think of the way to say it. But yeah, I have an advantage. There you go. But yeah, I don't know how small your hands would have to be to have a disadvantage. That's
okay.
An interesting question.
Yeah, it was the first time that I thought, like, should I learn to play another instrument?
Because
I've always, like, I've played the viola, and, like, that's what I play. I never really thought about it in any different way. And my son's learning piano right now, so I've been, like, learning the piano with him.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, should I try to learn the guitar? I don't know.
That's really cool. I definitely think the more you dig into other instruments, it informs your primary instrument for sure.
Mm.
That's what happened for me on piano. Definitely informed. Their relationship is really cool to dissect.
Yeah. So do you read music? I love asking people this.
To an extent, I could, if I sat down with a piece of sheet music, I could read it, but it would take me 20 minutes to get through a couple lines.
Okay.
It would be a lot like the equivalent of counting on your fingers to get the tip.
Gotcha.
That's
okay.
What it would
okay.
be. So yeah, it would take me a while, but I could do it eventually. Yeah.
I see what you mean. That's how I feel about the piano. Where I'm like, I can feel things out by, like, you know, like listening.
Yeah.
And, like, I can play stuff like that, but then also, now that I'm learning the piano with my son, I'm like, okay, well, now I know some of the notes.
Yeah,
But it would take me forever because treble is like our backup clef for viola. Alto is our primary clef. So I'm supposed to be able to read treble very well, which is what the violins read.
Yeah.
But it's not my strongest suit. So I can kind of read it.
Sure. Same here. And I think for me, it's just that decision of figuring out what things to maximize on in life and what, just at the stage of life I'm in, the season I'm in, what would be a waste of time for me, you know? I do a lot of solo stuff and lead playing on private gigs or on cover gigs with a loop pedal. And I've thought a lot about diving into that a bit more, but that's a really great example of, it really wouldn't benefit me crazy amounts to be this really great lead player.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I could work on, have this opportunity to work on relationships by inviting other people to come in with lead players, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, it's a great topic and really great things to analyze and think about.
Yeah, sure. Well, what's next?
So this is, I'll play, I got about...
And what is this black thing on your guitar? I've seen this on guitars I've never
asked. Oh, this is just a capo. It just moves the bottom of your guitar up a little bit. That's all it's doing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It's basically shortening the length of the string.
Exactly right, yeah. So I could play, there are just chords that I'd be able to play better if I move this up. So if I play that, you know, I just don't have the same notes up there.
Oh, I see.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
Someone else smarter than me could describe it better, explain it better than me.
No, I think that was good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had had a more eloquent, you know, description, I would have been like, okay, now for a 5-year-old. So I can understand.
I need that quite often. Yes, very much so. So this is a song called Pull Me Up. It is definitely one of, so I will say this. This is one of the songs that, and the only song I'll play, that I don't want to go too deep into what the meaning of it is.
Okay.
I heard someone once say that, I've heard other artists say that they enjoy not saying what a song is about because then it lets the listener kind of create their own story. I've got my own feelings on that, but if someone agrees with that, then I want to give them that opportunity for this song.
Wait, what are your feelings about?
My feelings, you know, simply put, that's just not been my experience, and so that's why I don't agree with it. But it's not to say I think it's a bad mindset to have, but it really, it's just, I feel like from my experience, when I hear what a song is about to someone, it just provides clarity, and I sort of already know. Yeah, I can shapeshift that to match my own life. I don't need to live in an ignorance that it's just their cookie cutter song and that's it. I know situations change. It's okay. Just because your divorce is different than mine doesn't, you know, our divorce is about to be the same. So
yeah, it's like, oh, I can no longer relate
to
your song now that I know it's about divorce.
Exactly,
you
right.
Know, kind of
I completely
I see.
Agree.
I see.
But that has just been my experience. I'm sure now that I've said that, as soon as I get in the car, I'll listen to a song and feel that exact same way. But yeah, so for those people, if that's how they feel, then this is for them so that they can, you know, create their own meaning for the song. But I will say this, this was something quirky, unrelated about this song. This was one of my favorite, most passionate songs to write. I felt very, very, very strongly about the song. I just love, for me and about what it's about, I just love the meanings and the themes of it. But it was not one that I felt like came out not that it didn't come out the way I wanted it to. It just didn't come out as passionate as I wanted it to. So that's a quirk. If people listen to it online or on Apple Music or Spotify or whatever, know that I felt like it could be bigger and it just didn't come out that way. But I'm super happy it came out at all.
Gotcha. So, super okay.
Good. Yeah. So this is a song called "Pull Me Up."
Sometimes just feel so much more impactful, you know. And I guess that's what they would say is like when something's overproduced, but even just like the very nature of like the production of something.
And to be clear, the producer I was working with, Brooks Pascal at the time, did a phenomenal job. Just did the best job ever. So it was not him
of
by
course.
Any means.
No. Well, but there's so many things that you can do, so many directions you can go in when you're. I mean, you can say that about anything.
Yeah.
So like, I often think like, wow, how do you decide like? Is it going to be a fast song? Is it going to be a slow song?
Yeah,
and that's like the very basic, not to mention like, okay, what key are we going to be in? And so I can only imagine like trying to match what you feel, especially when it's something so like personal and emotional with how it comes out has got to be like super, super difficult. And there can be so many different ways where it could, you know, achieve success, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it can be a good song.
I definitely decided a while ago that for me, the bar was going to always be that it has to set me on fire. It's got to do,
yeah.
I was going to say make me happy, but that's not really what it is.
That's much better.
It's got to set me on fire. I've got to be really passionate about it. That's got to be the bar for me. I'm sure opinions differ on this, but I think that's what I want to know when an artist puts out a song. I'm okay, for me, I'm okay with saying or having an opinion of, I just don't like the way this song is, an artist's song came the way it came out. But as long as I know they love it, then that's okay. It sort of speaks to me in a big way.
Yeah.
Because you're right, a song can go any way. We can have so many opinions on. You hear a song remixed or acoustic or something like that, slowed down, and you have this opinion that's great or it's not great. So it could go so many different ways. As long as I know you loved it as the artist when you put it out, it sets you on fire, you're passionate about it.
Yeah.
That's a really great true north for me.
Yeah.
So
I've actually been thinking about creating like a challenge for all of the artists who participate in this to like pick one song and have them play it any way that they want to, like not thinking about it as like a strict cover, just thinking about it like make it your, like performing your way, just to kind of like showcase the different ways that like one song can be, you know, just based on the, like, can sound so different and like hit so different just depending on like the voice and the style and whatever. So I'm still thinking about that, but
we definitely live in an area, I don't know what it's like, I've never done cover music in any other state or anything, but I feel like we live in an area where people, the artists that do cover music here are just, they're phenomenal because they do just that. They do it in their own style.
Right.
Someone I think about it, I don't know if you've ever heard of Michael Chaney, but he plays around here a lot, and he is phenomenal at doing songs in his own way, his own style. And I just love it. It keeps it so fresh. Yeah, it's really great.
Especially because there can be like a fantastic song that really speaks to you, but maybe it doesn't work within like your vocal range.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's like, don't force it. Like, you can still like make it your own and do the cover.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree completely. And actually, perfect segue.
Oh,
I'm
going to
do a cover.
Awesome.
So this is a song that I don't need the lyrics for it, but I will need for my next original song, so I'll just cue that up. I love it. I do just love this song and could play it just because I like it so much. But when I was first, before I... at the very beginning of starting to do my original music on tours and being able to play at bigger shows in front of people actually showing up, an audience is showing up. This was a song that I sort of stereotypically clung to and just gave me a lot of motivation. It's Bigger Than My Body from John Mayer. Big John Mayer fan.
Super song. How do you feel about John Mayer's music today?
You know, I don't think that I'm being, I don't want to preface. I don't think that it's not that I don't want to put an opinion out there.
Okay.
It's just, what's an answer?
What's an answer? Okay. I loved John Mayer in high school.
Yeah.
And it was at a time where like people like kind of liked him, but like, you know, his appeal hadn't totally grown.
Sure.
You know, but I loved John Mayer so much. And that has waned. I don't even care about what is happening in the sphere of celebrity gossip. You know, because I know people get influenced, like, they're like, oh, Ariana Grande stealing someone's husband. I'm like, that's a distraction from the music. I don't need it in my life. I want to know, is the music moving me? That's how I feel.
Sure.
So John Mayer, like, whether he dated Taylor Swift or cheated on whoever or whatever, I don't care. But I just have felt like, I don't know, it just hasn't, there have been like some songs.
Yeah.
But full albums, I don't know, they haven't really reached me in the way that they did before.
Okay, I've got an answer for you.
Okay.
This is the preface, is that it's just my opinion, obviously, but it's just my opinion. I will say this. I'll start on a sour note, and then I'll end with something positive.
All
right. I think you brought up a really great point. I really don't enjoy when what you learn about the artist and what you're interacting with the artist isn't about their music, is about the drama in their life. And obviously, when you bring up John Mayer, that's one of the first things you think about is the drama in his life that you've heard about. But I'll end it on this note. One of my favorite things about John Mayer's music is that he always seems to tends to be ahead of the curve on what I'm going to like. Oftentimes I have received his music and thought, I had an opinion about it. And it wasn't always the best opinion. But I find myself, when it, as soon as it got warmer, I was putting on Paradise Valley, that whole album, you know? I mean, these there was a, it was an earmark for the season for me. Just my opinion, I would love to hear someone else's response to, his newest album that I can't think of the name of. It's not new anymore, but, oh my gosh, it's just, Sob Rock. Just my opinion, I will say, I was going to end on a positive note, this isn't a positive note, I'm so sorry. Just my opinion, I have heard other artists do the 80s thing. And they have done it. Matt Wirtz did it and just crushed it. I mean, just redefined the genre of 80s pop. Amazing. And did it in a way that was so simple, too. It was melodically just brought you there. You didn't feel like you were doing math homework listening to it. For me, Sob Rock, and maybe I just haven't listened to it enough, but Sob Rock does not feel authentic. It doesn't feel... It just doesn't hit me. I don't want to sour someone else's opinion. Maybe someone else loves it, and I want them to love it. But a lot for me when he was doing the Born and Raised and the Paradise Valley stuff, I sort of dogged him like everyone else on the country side of things and the folkier side of things. But now I go back and think that's one of his best, some of his best stuff. You know, most heartfelt stuff. Just a very flawed opinion for you.
I see what you mean, and that's actually like a good thing to consider. I think the folk genre feels more like home for his sound. I think because I loved, and of course now that I'm talking to you about music, this happens every single time. I'm like, I can't think of any song, I can't think of any artist name, I can't think of anything, and my phone is currently being utilized, so I can't just like so reliant on the internet. What was the album called? Clarity?
Heavier Things. That is my favorite John Mayer album.
And I also found, I thought it was better than, I liked the first one, but I thought it was better than the first. I do see how like his, even like the Wildfire stuff kind of felt more like, oh yeah, this is you. But yeah, I don't know.
I know exactly what you're saying. Just to continue down that rabbit hole that could absolutely be cut from this. I agree. I feel like this is very opinionated, but I'm just gonna go after it here. The stuff on Heavier Things and Room for Squares were, I mean, so outside of the box in a great way. I was actually thinking about this the other day. It's ironic we bring this up. I was just thinking about the other day how I wonder if he... This is not the way to say this. I wonder if he should just go back to being a douchebag.
I'm so sorry for being so crass. No, I hear you.
But yeah, that sort of I Want to Conquer the World, John Mayer, brought so much to reckon with. I listened to Clarity. I listened to... so many deeper cuts on Heavier Things. I can't think of any of the song titles right now, but
what was the live album after that?
Oh, Where the Light Is?
No, where Slow the Burning,
Slow Dancing in the Burning.
Was that that album?
Yeah, Where the Light Is. That was, oh my gosh, one of the best albums. I think he won a Grammy for that.
So good,
amazing, amazing. I do miss his ambition, I will say that. His ambition. That's probably the better way to say it. I do miss that, let me give all I can possibly give on this album. Let me exhaust myself in every possible way. I have something to prove sort of mentality. I love that. I miss that so much from his albums. Anyways.
Now I'm going to go back and like listen to all of them just so I can be like,
Which is a great listen. It's going to be a great listen.
Yeah, seriously.
So this is a song called Bigger Than My Body that I did not write, but I love very much. This is a call to the blind. This is an eye on you. Scanning out of the horizon line. Tired of the sun, true. Yes, I'm grounded. Got my wings clipped. I'm surrounded by all this pain, man. Yes, I'll serve while I'm waiting for my face dry.
My body, yeah, bigger than my body.